The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All Donald Trump needs to do, Donald Trump, you know, the president, Donald Trump, is stay. You know what? I think Don Jr., I think he's got what it takes. And that's actually who I'd like to see as the nominee. And you're going to have this incredible base of people that right now are supporting J.D. Vance because he's the vice president. He seems to be Trump's guy. I mean, that's all going away, and that's all going to Don Jr. It's not necessarily enough to get him the nomination, but it would certainly take a big, big chunk out of J.D. Vance.
Matt, welcome back to Trailblaze, everybody. Good to talk to you again this week.
Hey, great to see you, Jamal.
All right, so lots happening this week. Obviously, there was a Super Bowl. That's all in the big news. There's the tragedy that's happening with Savannah Guthrie and our friend Mike Feldman out in Arizona. We send our prayers to them. And then there's some political news. Obviously, the leading internet candidate right now, the person who's generating the most news we keep talking about is Gavin Newsom. But this week we had a big rebrand happen with Kamala Harris, which for a day had people wondering what was happening with her. But it turned out she rebranded her HQ platform. It was Kamala HQ during the campaign. And now it's just called Headquarters, and it's going to put out new content. Have you seen this at all?
I've looked at it. It's very interesting. I'm really curious to see what the vice president is planning on doing. You know, Kamala was off the scene for about 6 months after the general election last year, which I think she absolutely positively deserved. Must have been a devastating blow to lose a general election like that, especially to Donald Trump. So she was gone for a while, but now she is back, and she's been on the road. She's got a book. She's doing book events. She was in South Carolina last week. And, you know, it appears that maybe she's thinking about jumping into this thing.
That's what it looks like a little bit. But, you know, she's doing it in a way that I think is more frustrating for people who supported her and like to follow her, which is it's kind of cautious, right? So the thing about the HQ rebrand, she's got 1.1 million followers on Instagram, 5.5 million followers on TikTok. So it's a pretty big audience that of people who were paying attention to her. They rebranded it. They did it with People for the American Way out in California. People for, you know, founded by Norman Lear, Laura Berchtold is one of the chairs out there. Former press secretary, Kirsten Allen, is working on it. Rob Flaherty and Laura Kapp, who did the campaign digital comms, they are also the ones who are managing it day-to-day. Kamala Harris is the emeritus, chair emerita. Now, what's interesting about that is they were very clear to announce that she's the chair emerita. She's not doing day-to-day. So she's not responsible for any individual post. That's all coming from the team. And then, you know, she's just kind of overseeing or, you know, got her name attached to the entire brand, which is really interesting to me because it's like, it's like a toe in the water of digital, you know, campaigning, but not the whole foot or the whole leg, which is really like the Gavin Newsom approach, which is the entire body, right? Up to the armpit.
The entire body. Yeah. Well, look, one of the most important assets that you come out of a presidential campaign with, win or lose, is a massive list of supporters, of people that you can contact, but ways that you can have influence. I mean, this is, you know, lists are gold these days with trying to get your message out. And so Kamala Harris rolls out with that. And so it's a great thing that she's got. This is an asset. And HQ is trying to leverage that asset. Also, we've talked about, we are in the very cautious stage of the campaign. No one wants to admit that they're running. Nobody wants to like be all the way out there. I mean, Gavin Newsom, even though his entire body is jumped into the water, he has not said that he's running for president. He's all but said it, but he has not actually said it at this point. So I think that's where we are with Kamala Harris as well. She wants to have influence. She's got this list. She's got things to say. She's been involved in public life for nearly 20 years at this point, between California elected office or, you know, being a senator or being the vice president. So it's not surprising that she wants to stay in and probably wants to see kind of what the water feels like in, you know, 3 to 6 months to see if there is a path for her to be able to do this.
So when you talk to the Harris people, the current Harris crowd, what they'll tell you is that one of the reasons she wanted to do this is because she believes, or they believe, that we can't just have this up and down digital presence. We've got to have institutions that will survive an individual candidate, survive an individual campaign, and they'll just keep generating content and putting it out. I think that's really smart. That is absolutely what the kind of progressive infrastructure needs, are these big sites that exist that will constantly push out positive messages and push back on Republicans when that's what's needed.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. What we do is we do tend to like stand up these giant organizations, spend a couple of billion dollars, and then just kind of rip them down after the campaign is over and kind of go back about our business. So, you know, Kamala having this HQ sort of piece of infrastructure is going to do great stuff for her. And then hopefully if she's able to use it for candidates across the country, it's going to have a big impact on 2026 in the midterm elections.
You know, it's helpful for us to remember where we are kind of in the with the last election, the polling, or in how it showed out. In 2024, among 18 to 24-year-olds, Kamala Harris was plus 10 against Donald Trump. Okay. Sounds great. Like, she did a good job. The only problem is, in 2020, Joe Biden was plus 29. With 18 to 24-year-olds. So that was good. And then there's the gender gap. Harris was plus 17 with women. Trump was plus 14 with men. So what we're seeing is skewing toward, you know, more women, less men. And I think what they want to do with HQ, with headquarters, is they want to target more people of color, target more men, and target more young people, obviously, and see if they can get those numbers back up to where they were in the 2020 range, which any Democrat, whether it's, you know, Pete Buttigieg or AOC, they're all going to need to have those numbers be back to the 2020 range more than how Trump did in 24.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think the fundamental thing here is, you know, in sales, the most important thing is to sell anything, a car, a digital calendar, is like, you have to get the person to answer the question, I believe that this purchase will make my life better. And fundamentally, yeah, it's going to change my life. That's why I'm buying this. In 2020, Joe Biden was able to do that because it's like, hey, this guy, Donald Trump, he is running this country off a cliff. We're going nowhere. It was an easy sell. People saw, okay, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. Trump will be out. My life is going to be better. That was an easy sell. The problem is in 2024, they basically tried to sell the same thing in, hey, Donald Trump is bad. Your life will be better if we don't have Donald Trump. Like, and people said, no, we've already tried that. We did that in 2020, and my life hasn't fundamentally changed enough over the last 4 years for me to want to buy that same product again. I'm not believing you. And, you know, you saw that a lot with young people. So Harris is, you know, I think it's great that she wants to engage these people, but there's got to be a fundamental sales pitch there that, like, I have a positive way to be able to make your life better, to be able to connect. And that's going to be true for any Democratic candidate running for president in 2028.
And Matt, you're touching on something, because this is really kind of a fundamental problem of the Democratic brand, right? I'm not sure people really know what they buy when they buy a Democrat, when they go out and vote for a Democrat. So every Democrat's running a little bit on their own, you know, steam, creating their own individual brand, which, of course, when you're running, you have to be an individual person. But with MAGA, at least you know it's kind of going to be like, although Trump is undermining it, but it's kind of at least going to make your white resentment feel better, right? It's kind of like at least make people who are upset about the cultural changes and demographic changes in America. Trump is sort of arguing, you know, like, we're going to make, you know, like, white people cool again, right? Like, it's kind of the fundamental pretext. And then he's got a bunch of other stuff, which, you know, doesn't seem like he's living up to at the moment. But at least you have a sense of, you know, what you're getting with a MAGA. With a MAGA crowd. I'm not sure that we know that with the Democrats. What are you really getting with Democrats?
I don't think Democrats know, and I don't think we have a clear message. And, you know, we've talked about this as well before, is there's a real fundamental difference in opinion within the Democratic Party of what the Democratic Party should be, what Democratic policy should be, and what we should be selling to the American people. So you have kind of moderate third way, sort of like, look, we want to just have, you know, be mostly pro-business and, you know, you get that crowd. And then you have a, you know, Bernie, AOC, Mamdani, sort of like, no, really democratic socialism is the way to go. And we really need to be incredibly progressive and incredibly liberal. And those two sides do not see eye to eye right now. And that's, we're going to have to battle that out in this primary. And that's what we're going to have to figure out.
That's right. You know, just, and to kind of bring this back to the bad money of it all for a second, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, right? You know, Trump is running on this kind of white resentment. And, you know, he came down the escalator talking about, you know, kicking out immigrants and calling them names.
Mexican criminals. Yeah.
And then last week, Mexican criminals. And last week we saw this meme that he posted with Barack and Michelle Obama, the former president and first lady, looking like apes. Yeah. And, awful. You know, there's a through line to all of this, which is about, you know, it's like it's sometimes it's subtle racism, sometimes it's kind of more overt racism, but it exists. And this white fear. And, you know, one of the things maybe we've talked about a lot, certainly on the left, is the coming majority minority, but of the population of the minority majority. But in some ways, that's kind of not really right. I don't think it's accurate, right? The truth is that we're not going to have a majority. We're going to have a society with kind of a lot of different groups of people who all have different ideas. I mean, Trump kind of proved it. Like, you can't count on all African Americans and Latinos and Asian Americans all like siding up together and voting, you know, and you can't count on all white people basically doing that either. And so the truth is, the white population is still going to be the largest single ethnic group in the country for as far as the eye can see. So this idea that like white people are going to be like swamped by everybody else is not really right. And then you look at 90% of CEOs are white. You look at, you know, the biggest music in the country is country music. The biggest religion in the country is still Christianity. By a majority, like a vast majority. You know, there are all these things. White culture is still going to be incredibly relevant and white people are going to be fine in America. Yeah. Well, the question is, are they going to share? The question is everybody else going to be fine? Are we going to have a country, this is Olympics week, where it's Team USA, right? When like it's got the best people, you know, regardless of where you're from, everybody can compete and the best people get to go on the field. That's the way the country wins in the long term, in my opinion, as we compete around the globe.
I agree with you completely in terms of where we should be going. I mean, I think you bring up the Olympics. That's a really good example. I mean, you see Trump just, you know, on Truth Social battling with different athletes. You've got athletes expressing that they don't like what's going on with this country. And, you know, look, we've been alive for a lot of Olympics. We've had Democratic presidents. We've had Republican presidents. You've never seen this much sort of consternation with the athletes and saying, you know, hey, I'm not sure that this is that the country is doing things that I fully represent. And it's putting the athletes in a kind of a bad space. I mean, in terms of I think you're exactly right on kind of what the state of the nation is going to be over the next 20, 30, 40 years. Whites are still going to dominate most of it for all of the reasons that you mentioned. But I mean, unfortunately, the funny thing about fears is, you know, your fear doesn't actually have to be true or, you know, really valid or a real thing at all for it to be motivating for you. And Trump has done a great job using that fear of the change to completely take over a huge segment of the country, not the majority of the country, but enough to be able to get him elected. And, you know, then he's taken advantage of like the kind of the unfairness of the Senate, the unfairness of the Electoral College, and all of these things that are allowing this very fearful minority to have an oversized influence on where we are today in our politics.
So I think that's right. And I think that we, as those of us who are on the left, whether it's center left or far left, we've got to get more of what I think Melody Hobson calls race brave, right? Like Trump is sort of, he's engaging in this racial conversation. He's talking to people directly about the things they're afraid of. And it's like, we don't want to mention it. It's like we're trying to treat the symptoms of the problem without actually talking about the fundamental problem that exists. And I think for a lot of people who do feel hinky about what's happening in the country, they are worried about all these changes that are coming at them pretty fast. And some of them, like maybe you could understand why they would be a little concerned about this and some not. But the fact that we don't talk about it seems like we're out of touch. That's the part to me. I feel like we have to figure out what our voice is going to be to say to Americans, like, it's going to be fine. We're all going to be here. It's going to be fine. Your kids are going to be great. You know, like America's going to be fine. Like, but that's not the message coming from us. It's really the Trump message, which is America screwed unless we kind of reinstate some old sense of like racial hierarchy.
Right. Norms and democratic practices. No, I think you're exactly right. We've got to go beyond that. And we really, you know, the Democratic Party's got to figure out what it's standing for. And people have said this, like you can't be for billionaires and for working people. You can't have both. And so that may be kind of where we're headed in that fundamental decision that people are going to have to make here over the next 24 months.
My favorite slogan on that is more millionaires, fewer billionaires.
Yeah, right? I think that'd be a good thing. Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I
at
think
least like housing.
Yeah. I mean, I think both of our politics is exactly there. We want people to be successful. We want people to have a lot of money. We'd like to have a lot of money. But it can't be where it's all going to 30 or 40 people and they're having an outsized influence on the entire system. It's not fair. So, and I think almost
every
Democrat will agree
on that. Well, speaking
of
outsized influence, one of the things that's happening right now, particularly we're seeing this, Super Bowl just was last weekend. We're seeing this in sports. The betting world is big. It's gotten even bigger. It's more mainstream. And now we've talked about this on our podcast now, the betting around politics. And people are taking a look at the markets. You follow this. Tell me what you've seen lately.
Well, I think that what's really interesting here is we've got a big discrepancy. And actually, there was a Rasmussen poll that came out last week looking at the 2028 contenders. And you know, we actually have not talked about actual polling on this show at all at this point. But, you know, it actually has Kamala Harris with a pretty significant lead. I mean, I think she was up 14 points on Gavin Newsom. I think Buttigieg was in there around 10. AOC was slightly behind him. Shapiro, Booker, Westmore, those are the people that kind of show up in this poll. And even if you look at the averages of polls, Kamala Harris is pretty far, pretty significantly ahead, almost by 10 points. Now, the issue with traditional polling is at this point, this is really just picking up on kind of name recognition. You know, Kamala Harris was vice president. She ran for president. Everybody knows who Kamala Harris is, or nearly everybody knows who Kamala Harris is. And that's just not quite the same for Gavin Newsom, although Newsom has been out and has been doing a ton in social media and seems to be in every news cycle every week. You know, he was in Bad Bunny and stuff like that this weekend. But so the prediction markets are a little bit different because it's people actually putting money where they believe that the, you know, what is going to happen in the future. And in those cases, Gavin Newsom is up. You know, he's above 30 in one of the main markets. And, you know, the next person is AOC at 9, you know, and Shapiro and Harris are behind AOC at about 8. And so that means people are not really willing to put their money behind Kamala Harris. And they don't believe that she actually has what it takes to be the next vice president. And so I think this is interesting.
Next, you know, vice Gavin president or next president?
Sorry, as next president. Gavin and AOC have both.
Let me say something. She could be vice president. Kamala Harris, as vice president, has never lost.
That is absolutely true. Well, that's, you know, I think we when people were talking about, never mind, this is going to be a bad joke. Anyway, but so you've got, so in these prediction markets, Newsom's pretty much hanging tough, but he is like, you know, a 3-1, one to three favorite that he's going to be the presidential nominee. You see Shapiro and Harris are up a little bit, and then everybody else is somewhere between like 5 and 1 that we've been talking about. So there's a lot that's going to be coming in this over the next couple of months. So it'll be interesting to see how these numbers move and the way they move in relation to the polls. At some point, the polling and the prediction markets will start to move kind of in tandem because, you know, gains in polling when people actually know who all the candidates are, it is going to be more likely that they're going to win the election. So you'll see these things start to move together.
Yeah. So you were just talking about the Rasmussen poll. I saw like a Harvard-Harris poll that had Kamala Harris at 39, Gavin Newsom at 30, AOC at 12, Shapiro at 9, and J.B. Pritzker at 7. Everybody else was like 4 or something like that. I mean, which goes to show you that they're basically tracking each other, right? Like these polls are basically stacked. And which, I mean, I think what you're seeing is, like you said, name ID. Gavin is out there, so people know him. It's just interesting to me that AOC has gotten to be bigger. But what was interesting to me in the Harvard-Harris poll, I don't want to lose this before we go, is I looked the Republican side, and this we have not talked about. They have it, J.D. Vance at 53. We've been talking about Marco Rubio. But you know who they have at number 2? Donald Trump Jr. So Vance at 53, Trump Jr. at 21, Rubio at 17, and then Tucker Carlson at 5, which is like, you know, whatever people are. That's like how George Clooney shows up in Democratic polls or something sometimes.
Oh, I don't know. I think Tucker Carlson's got a much better chance, much better chance than George Clooney would of achieving the Republican nomination. So. Yeah,
that might be right. But look, Donald Trump Jr. in the second slot. We haven't talked about him.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, we haven't, but you can see the path for that, right? I mean, to all Donald Trump needs to do, Donald Trump, you know, the president Donald Trump, is say, you know what, I think Don Jr., I think he's got what it takes. And that's actually who I'd like to see as the nominee. And you're going to have this incredible base of people that right now are supporting J.D. Vance because he's the vice president. He seems to be Trump's guy. I mean, that's all going away, and that's all going to Don Jr. It's not necessarily enough to get him the nomination, but it would certainly take a big, big chunk out of J.D. Vance. So,
I mean, when you see these videos from these conservative, you know, Turning Point USA, these conservative sort of gatherings, the Donald Trump Jr. Energy in the room seems to be pretty high. And I'm betting that that's a big reason why this, you know, why these numbers are big. Could you imagine, though, if Trump, you know, Trump was playing some dastardly plot to let Vance and Rubio like fight it out amongst themselves, at the end is like, nah, neither one of them. Yeah. Don Jr. And Don Jr. shows up like as the in the poll position for the Republican nomination in 2028. That would be, I mean, that would be a plot twist for everybody.
It certainly would. But, you know, let's not, you know, look, we're doing a podcast about what we think is going to happen in 2028. But the fact is, you know, after the last 10 years of politics, you know, nobody really knows anything and nobody knows where it's going to go. So Donald Trump Jr. ending up being the standard bearer, I mean, maybe they are. Like, it doesn't seem to make kind of sense just based on like kind of thinking things through. But maybe we don't know anything. Maybe we're dumb again.
It's true.
Like Donald Trump being the nominee in 2016 wasn't really on anybody's card. Like nobody thought he was going to win. He did. And, you know, then coming back in 2024, we decided to get on this ride again. So, you know, anyway, and we also,
I mean, look, and it could also matter.
Trump burned the thing down. Yeah.
Donald Trump Jr., for all of his, you know, family traits and whatever, he's got some personal baggage, but his dad had that too.
Yep.
He could also end up with some legal trouble because one of these, you know, these guys are going around the world cutting deals that people don't necessarily like. So maybe not, you know, obviously the president wouldn't have the DOJ investigate him, but some of these states, I mean, New York State, if they're doing financial investment business and there's some questions about it, New York State has, I think, a lot of jurisdiction. Delaware has a lot of jurisdiction. You know, some of these more Democratic states, you know, I mean, he could have legal trouble, which obviously that didn't hurt his dad, but he could have legal trouble. He could have, who knows what number of things could exist. Kimberly Guilfoyle could come back and she could be the most pivotal player, right, in the 2028 election between Gavin Newsom and Donald Trump Jr. That would be another plot twist. So anyway, who knows? Who knows what's coming in this whole thing?
Yeah. And, you know, look, I mean, we've talked about Donald Trump, if he's not going to be president, may want to burn the entire country down. But maybe with the chance of Don Jr. being kind of, you know, his successor and keeping his name in office. I mean, I think I could see him being supportive of that and wanting it to go forward. So we'll have to see what happens. So the script writers are, you know, they're keeping us entertained every day.
Yeah, as my friend likes to talk about, whoever's in charge of this particular program. in the simulation. Whoever's in charge of the simulation is really having a great time. So we'll see how it all turns out. All right, well, this was fun. We'll talk a little more about this again next week. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Sounds great. Good to talk to you, Jamal.